Boker Tov, everybody. Welcome to day 16 out of 24 in our 24-part series. It's a pleasure to welcome Dr. Benny Gesundheit, who, while he lives in Alon Shvut, is speaking to us from his native Switzerland. Benny is like what I call a renaissance man. He is a medical doctor. We met him first because he did a fellowship in pediatric hematology oncology at the Hospital for Sick Children in Toronto. He's taught medical ethics. While he was in Toronto, he also did a PhD on Jewish medical ethics. He writes a book. It's where he gave me this idea, actually. For every simcha in the family, he writes a book. And five children, that was a debate to have five or 24 children. Benny, if you remember that discussion. And I'm holding here his commentary on Sefer Tehillim published by Koren, which Benny wrote in honor of his daughter's wedding. So it's a pleasure to have Benny speak on Sefer Tehillim. And today's class is sponsored by Claire and Howard Lewinsky in memory of Howard's grandmother, Chana Leah Bat Moshe. May we all be blessed with long life. Dr. Benny, it's all yours. Bakasha.
Okay. Dear Rabbi, can you see it? Can you hear me? Can you see it? Can you hear me?
I can see you, Beth. Thank you.
Okay. Dear Rabbi Jay, dear friends, it's an outstanding honor to teach with Rabbi Jay's class. We know each other from 20 plus years ago, and I want to wish you and Ilana, Rabbi Meet Ilana Mazal Tov on the wedding of Atara and Noah. And Chazal say we have to start with a joke, but here I think I can be very serious. Why is her name Atara? Why did you call her Atara? Everything that Rabbi Jay and Ilana do has a purpose, a clear plan. They obviously knew that Atara in English, in Latin, as you can see from the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Tz'ena u're'ena b'not Tzion b'melech Shlomo, Ba'atara she'itra lo imo b'yom chatunato b'yom simchat labo. The crown that a mother is giving to her daughter, the parents giving to the daughter for the wedding. So if you translate that to the Vulgata, we will not translate the entire sentence, but atara in Latin is corona. So we are very happy that at the time of the corona, where we unfortunately see a lot of suffering in the world, that Atara and Ori are getting married and that we focus on good things. They should have a Beit Israel and have a big Nachat and Atara for Atara despite the corona time. Mazal Tov. I'm extremely excited to tell you about Sefer Tehillim. Normally when I prepare a shiur, it takes a week, 2 weeks, a month. This shiur I'm preparing 9 years. It's now for 9 years that beside on my medical activity, I'm very, very interested in Sefer Tehillim. And it goes back, I would say 35 years at least, that I want to understand Tanakh and Sefer Tehillim in particular. I'm trying to give you now a totally new view, a total new perspective on Sefer Tehillim. It goes back, I cannot say it's my own insights, it's my own research, but I learned it from some American researchers, and in particular, the German researchers, which I will mention the slide at the end. And the question is, why is Sefer Tehillim called a book? If you say in Hebrew, Sefer, a book, it has the same letters like Sipur, a story. And a Sipur has numbers, Misparim. Why is the book of Tehillim called a book? Is there any connection between Mizmor Aleph and Bet, the first and the second chapter? Why do we have five books in Sefer Tehillim? Why do we have an end in Sefer Tehillim, which is a lot of hallelujah at the end, Psukei de Zimra? And all these questions, of course, I want to understand chapter one and chapter two and so far up to the last one. But at the end, I want to understand why was it organized in this way. And this research is a new research, very, very interesting, that in particular German scholars found it. I was looking in Chazal, and I found quite a lot. And I never found the overview and the systematic approach that Chazal have in the way I find it in the German research. Furthermore, with phenomenal search systems today, we can search the letters, we can search the text. And I'm working now, you can find on Tehilim.org, on my website in Hebrew, 175 lectures on all the Mizmorim, the 150, each of them. And I'm trying to explain them in the bigger context. What I'm going to tell you now is an outstanding chidush, an innovation, a new insight. How interesting that the Bible wasn't given yesterday, a few hundred and thousand years ago, and brilliant minds were thinking to comment, to explain the Bible. And here we have a total new view, which I'm excited to present you. I called the lecture The Book of Sefer Tehillim as a Narrative Entity. A narrative entity doesn't have to be what happened day one, day two, day three. There are different narrative rules and narrative features in a book, which I'm going to explain you now. I have here a presentation which has many, many slides. I'm not going to show you all the material, but I'm trying to present an impression and a new light on the book. And once, if you understand this slide, you understand everything. Interesting enough that most of the commentators have beautiful explanation on chapter 1, 2, and 3. They were not bothered, what is the structure? The famous, outstanding commentator, Rabbi Avraham ben Ezra, Ibn Ezra, a scholar of the 13th century Spain, he wrote outstanding commentaries to the entire Bible and to the Tehillim. And in his famous introduction, he says, after a lot of arguments and questions, he comes to the frustration, to the conclusion, there is no order in the book of Tehillim. There is no flow. V'ha'emet kol mizmor u'mizmor bifnei atzmo. The truth is, that's his conclusion, each chapter stands on his own. So you might have a beautiful chain with a lot of stones. You see every stone is beautiful, but you never see the stone, you never see a chain. Every mizmor has a special atmosphere, a special message, and a beautiful insights, but you don't see the flow. And here I'm trying, during this lecture, to give you an overview. What is the flow of Sefer Tehillim? I'm not going to argue with Ibn Ezra. I'm that small compared to this big, brilliant mind. But I want to show what are the rules. And I'm trying to be very simple, very systematic. Sometimes, after researching 9 years and writing it up, the website, and preparing a book, which will take me another few years, Bezrat Hashem, to finish. But sometimes it's a good exercise to give a simple overview, which I would like to do now. The book of Tehillim is split into 5 books. Nobody has to be very creative to think about 5 books of one book. It's the Chumash. It's the Torah. The first book begins with the first mizmor, the first chapter. Happy is the man, Ashrei Ha'ish, who is learning all day Torah. Kim b'Torat Hashem chifzo, uv'Torato yehege yomam v'layla. All day he learns Torah. So the atmosphere, before you read the book, that you have 5 parts of the book, and the first chapter tells you, happy the man who reads the Torah, you are in a Torah atmosphere, not of Moshe Rabbeinu, but of David. Interesting enough, David HaMelech as a king, the most famous king of Jewish history, who has a very special feature, David HaMelech, he didn't only live his own life, he continues to live many, many years afterwards. Every child in the kindergarten knows the song David Melech Yisrael, Chai V'Kayam. And we say every time when we make Kiddush HaLevana, once a month, David Melech Yisrael, Chai V'Kayam, Gemara Masechet Rosh Hashanah. King David lives. Why do we say that? Because in the Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, in the prophets, And in the Treasar, very often, David HaMelech is mentioned. He will come back. His spirit inspires us many, many years after his death. So his career is not over with his death. He has after his death, and that is known from Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel. And here we have five books, which have each of them a doxology, an ending. At every book at the end is a certain closing of the book. Why? So if you say there is no organization, I can explain why. And Ibn Ezra, who thinks there is no structure, he has the following argument, a very good point. At the end of the second book, it says, if you can see my arrow, in chapter 20, 72, Kalut filot David ben Ishai. That's the end of David's chapters, all his prayers. If it's over, it's gone. But you can see here in my diagram, prepared by an outstanding graphic artist, Shulamit Meir, and we call it here, that is the first collection of David. In the first book, we have the second collection of David. In between, Mizmorim dedicated to Asaf and to Bnei Korach. We have 12 before and afterwards. Here we have altogether 12 of Asaf and 12 of Bnei Korach. And they are before and afterwards, not symmetrically, but they are both 12. Isn't that a meaningful structure? It's not yet clear, but there is an intention. 12 left and right surrounding the second collection of King David. And afterwards it says, Kalut filot David ben Ishai. That's the end. The chapter beforehand in 71, Pasuk Tet, it says, Al tashlicheni le'et zikna. King David prays, don't throw me in the age of an old man, when I have no energy, when I have no future anymore. The next chapter is dedicated to his son. Lishlomo, Elohim mishpatecha lemelech ten, v'tzidkatcha leven melech. So that is, he is coming to the end of his life, 71 and 72. And at the end it says, Kalut filot David ben Ishai. So how come is he continuing? Here in the third book is one chapter dedicated to David. In the fourth book, two chapters dedicated to David. At the beginning of the fifth book, there are three chapters at the beginning dedicated to David. In Shir HaMa'alot, another four chapters dedicated to David. And at the very end, eight chapters dedicated to David. All together, 18 chapters, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 8. Why? If he died, how is he talking? If he's talking, why do you say Kalut filot David ben David? Kalut filot David ben Ishai. So we understand why Ibn Ezra said, forget it, there is no organization. What's the new approach? The new approach is a very, very simple one. Look at the entire book, read it over and over. Sefer Tehillim is a little bit bigger than Sefer Ovadiah. Sefer Ovadiah has one chapter. So to read the entire book, Ovadiah is also a challenge, but in one day you are done. To read the entire book and not to lose the overview is quite a challenge. What's the meaning? The answer is totally simple. And that is what the research says. The name of this research is, in German or in English, they call it the canonical approach to Sefer Tehillim or to the Book of the Psalter. The canonical editing, the shaping. I translated it into Hebrew, Parshanut Heksherit. Heksher is the connection or the context. We have a text, and the text of each chapter has a context, the next chapter. Look at the neighbor. And that's a very interesting approach in research, which we know from psychology. You look in psychology at the entire person, Gestalt psychology, the personality. We look in medicine, what's the interaction between the body and the soul, psychosomatics. We are trying to understand not each piece on his own. We are trying to see the flow. And that is the approach on Sefer Tehillim to see the overview. What's the answer? that David HaMelech died in 72 at the end of the second book, and he keeps appearing 1, 2, 3, 4, 8. Beautifully structured. There is a comeback of David HaMelech. The dead King David, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam. He inspires us. He is dead, but every child thinks he continues. Why? Because the prophets were talking. If we follow the mitzvot and we follow the vision and the prophecy of Hashem, there will be a renewal, a rebirth of David HaMelech. What an unbelievable statement, which is very interesting in the context of the book. If we think today, and I think that's the reason why I'm so addicted to this approach, we, Am Yisrael, are coming back to Eretz Yisrael the same way at the time of Shivat Zion after the exile in Babylon. They came back after 70 years. This time period is called Shivat Zion. Shivat Zion is mentioned, the return to Zion, which is Ezra and Nehemiah. It's mentioned only once in the Bible. In Tehillim, you know it all by heart. Shir HaMa'alot, Beshuv Adonai Shivat Zion, Ayinu Kecholmim. We come back. That is 127. We come back. The dead King David lives. Whoever who comes back to Yerushalayim, Ir David Ba'chana, the city where David lived, he is welcomed. When he comes back to Zion, by the hero of the city. Who is the hero of the city? David. So despite that he is dead, he welcomes us. And we are searching for him. After his death in 72, with Shlomo, he keeps praying, and he keeps praying 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and he keeps singing, and he keeps saying Hallel. The Hallel units, which is a beautiful, beautiful analysis. I can just give you a few teasers, a few impressions. I cannot cover the entire book in 60 minutes. Here we have the Hallel in black, white on blue. The first Hallel, when they come back from the exile, 107.
Can you make the screen a little bit wider and bigger, just a little bit? I think that would be helpful for people. You can also, you know, print out. We have it on there on the side. Okay, you can just, yeah, a little bit wider. That made it smaller, actually. Okay, yeah, that's.
You want it bigger like that?
Well, bigger, yeah, and then you can zoom in. People can actually see what you're talking about. Otherwise, it's a little bit too hard to, I find it hard to follow.
Good. Right. Yeah.
This is better, much better, yeah. And then
I want to tell you, Rabbi Jay, I was told one by a good friend who is a teacher that my material is far too packed, and I have to do it only one page. So the same friend Amos Safrai, he offered me to present the entire Sefer Tehillim on 18 meters in his school in Yerushalayim. So there I walk around, I dress up King David, and I walk through my book. So I cannot do that here, but I want to show you the overview. I want to go back here, first chapter 1, book 1 and 2, King David, surrounded by the singers in the Beit HaMikdash, in the temple. What do we have at the end? At the end, the doxology, the end of the book, Baruch Adonai Elohei Israel, Mehaolam ve'ad haolam, Amen ve'amen. Blessed is Hashem, God of Israel, from now for eternity, Amen ve'amen. We have almost the same at the end of the second book, as you can see here. Baruch Hashem, Elokim, Elokei Israel. I cannot explain the difference. And it will fill the entire universe, because the kingdom should go all over of David and Shlomo. And that's the end of King David. What happened in the third book? The third book is the destruction. The third book is the end, the deterioration, moral deterioration of Am Yisrael, political deterioration of Am Yisrael. And chapter 89 at the end gives a terrible description that everybody is killed. All what you promised to King David, says the Meshorer, says the Sefer Tehillim, talks to Hashem in a very tough language. I'm not aware of any source in the Bible and afterwards talks so tough to Hashem. You promised Hashem. You didn't fulfill a word. David is dead. All his servants are dead. And we are all dead. And at the end it says, Baruch Hashem le'olam, amen ve'amen. I cannot open the text now. Please read it at the end of 89. And he is not saying Elokei Israel. And he is not saying me'olam ve'ad ha'olam. So if he is blessing Hashem, give a full blessing, like here. If you are not capable to bless Hashem in the presence of the destruction, don't say anything. So what happened here? Can you see that Elokei Israel is missing here? It appears here, here, not here, but it appears here. Why is it not appearing here? And that is a beautiful religious insight. Even in very bad times, Am Yisrael continues the tradition to bless Hashem. He can't really say it with a full mouth. He cannot talk about Elokei Israel. But he cannot stop to see himself, despite that the memory of King David is gone, destroyed. It's history. But he cannot stop to see himself as part of the continuity. When I explained that, I used to mention Elie Wiesel's very special story that in one of the barracks in Auschwitz, they did a Beit Din, a Din Torah for Kodesh Baruch Hu. And they were sitting, rabbis, and they were sitting, and the fact whatever happens in Auschwitz and people are killed and the crematorium, and they have had a long Din Torah, rabbis. And Elie Wiesel describes it very powerfully, Kedarko. And after 3 days, they came to the conclusion, what God did here is a disaster. He is guilty. And at the end, the rabbi says, and now Tfilat Mariv. And that's exactly the effect here. We have a disaster. Whatever was promised to King David in the first and second, Whatever was promised to King David in the first two books, it's gone. It's destroyed. We have in the third book, chapter 79 and 83, where it says, they came and killed everybody. And all your servants, all your avadecha are food for the animals and for the birds. What did you do, Hashem? And they say in 83, Asher amru lechu v'nakhidem migoy. They mentioned the nations, the enemies, we will destroy the Jewish people, and the name will not never ever be mentioned anymore. Endlösung, the final solution. 83. At the end, the chapter says, it is a disaster what happened. Hold on, I don't know what happened here. Excuse me for a moment. Oh, sorry. So that's the impression at the end of the third book. What is he saying, David HaMelech? Now I have it here. Sorry, what is he saying here? He says at the end, I can't praise Hashem. But the next chapter is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is mentioned one single time as the author of a chapter in Tehillim. It is a collection. It is a collection of beliefs, of a belief system. And Moshe Rabbeinu is answering after this terrible destruction, a depression, a frustration. Everybody is killed. But we believe it will continue. Who is coming at the time of a crisis, at the time of a loss of hope? It was in Egypt, Moshe Rabbeinu. After the Chet HaEgel, Moshe Rabbeinu prays for Hashem. 40 years in the desert, he is praying. Interesting enough, he appears only here at the beginning of the fourth book. The third book has 17 chapters and it goes down. The fourth book has 17 chapters and there is a restoration. There is a rebuild, finding back to a belief. Who is helping us to believe? Moshe Rabbeinu. Gemara Rosh Hashanah Yud Zayin says, Vayavor Hashem al panav vayikra, melamed shenitatef HaKadosh Baruch Hu betalit. When Moshe was praying at Har Sinai, at the Mount Sinai, after the Chet HaEgel, Moshe prayed, and Hashem appeared to him. And Rabbi Yochanan says, Hashem dressed up, kivyachol, with a talit, and told Moshe, whenever the Jewish people makes a sin, pray to me, Moshe, and I will forgive them. That is the source of slichot. That's exactly the structure of Sefer Tehillim. Believe me, no German scholar connected that to the Gemara. Here exactly, Moshe begins and we start to believe. And one of the sources to believe is, we believe in Moshe Rabbeinu, the way he saved at Behar Sinai. Chapter 90 is exactly an imitation of Har Sinai. The same languages, the same situation, and the same challenges. And Moshe brings us back to believe. And we have heard there a beautiful chapter, which we know very well from the Tefillah. Mizmor shir leyom haShabbat, tov lehodot laHashem ulozamer leShimcha Elyon, lagid baboker chasdecha veEmunatcha belelot. We say it Friday night. But why is it said here, chapter 92, at the beginning of the fourth book? Because when the world is coming back to us with Moshe Rabbeinu, and we still have hope, belief, and future, we believe again in the world. And Chachamim say, Yom Shekulo Shabbat, a day which is the whole day is Shabbat. The source in the manuscript says, Le'olam Shekulo Shabbat. We believe in the brave new world. There is not depression, not destruction, as we have it here. There is still hope. And it comes back. And once we come back from the exile, at the end of chapter of the fourth book, we start a new process of building Am Yisrael. Let me show you now the beautiful insight of the fourth doxology. And I make it bigger. We have something very interesting. Baruch Hashem, Elokei Yisrael, the same way we had it at the beginning. Compare these chatimot, these doxologies, the ending. Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, the same way we had it at the beginning. Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Meha'olam Avad Ha'olam, at the beginning, and we have it here. But now we have a huge change. Ve'amar kol ha'am, amen, hallelujah. The entire nation will say, amen, and we praise Hashem. The German scholars created a very nice expression. It is not King David and his belief of chapter 1 and 2 which is coming back. It is King David's belief which goes to the entire nation. Ve'amar kol ha'am, amen. It is, they called it, the democratization of the belief system of King David. That's his belief. But now it is for the entire nation. And instead of amen ve'amen, which we have here, we have here a very meaningful change. Hallelujah. Why? Because once we see that we are coming back, we start to praise. And Sefer Tehillim, which is praise, really starts when it comes to the fourth book, when it comes to the fifth book. Back from the exile, compared to Betzet Yisrael Mimitzrayim, Halel HaMitzri, Halel HaGadol, and we rebuild ourselves when we come back to Eretz Yisrael. I'm born in Basel. And every time in Basel, Yom HaTzmaut, people were talking, Herzl had das Basler Programm. The Basler Programm, how to bring the Jewish nation back from all the places to Eretz Yisrael. A beautiful historical event of the Congress of the Zionism in Basel. Believe me, what King David does in the fifth book is even better. We come back to Eretz Yisrael. We quote David HaMelech because we identify ourselves with David HaMelech. We think that once we left Egypt, now we come back. We have a new Exodus. Halel HaMitzri. What do we do afterwards? We learn Torah, the beautiful chapter 119, the longest chapter in Tehillim and the longest chapter in the Bible. And we say Shir HaMa'alot back to Eretz Yisrael, back from the exile, back to rebuild Eretz Yisrael. We say the Halel HaGadol, which is very similar, beautiful analysis. I cannot present it here. Halel HaGadol says we are open for the entire mankind, for all nations. And we say, Al Narot Bavel, we are aware there are many, many Jews outside of Eretz Yisrael, still victims of the Al Narot Bavel on the rivers of Babylon. Bring them back. Bring all Jews back. And bring all nations back to Eretz Yisrael. That's the message of Sefer Tehillim. That's a narrative. King David lived in the past. He's not past history. After the destruction, there is a rebuild, there is a restoration, and with the restoration, there is a return to Eretz Yisrael. 2,000 years, Am Yisrael was saying Tehillim, more. We see that in our days. That is unbelievable. I want to show you now more sources and some examples, which are amazing. And here, I think it's very important. Yes, I'm preparing a book with so far 900 pages, and that's not how I can convince you. It will not be catchy to tell you from page 1 to 2. But I try to do something else. I'm trying to show you what I prepared with another graphic artist, Tamar Gutman. And we did that together. I drove her crazy and she made all the changes. That was the teamwork. And she survived and she was very happy at the end. Here we see King David at the beginning. Ashrei Ha'ish, he learns Torah. And you see his head, you see his crown, and you see the stones of Yerushalayim. And here we have King David with his nevel, his harp. And he is in the Mikdash, surrounded. He has two aspects. Every king has to write himself a Sefer Torah. In the first book, we have his Torah, his philosophy. In the second book, we have his presence in the Mikdash, which he didn't build, but he was the singer. And the third book, you see, it's gone. It's destroyed. And here it is, our beautiful Mizmorim. How do we survive in the absence of Eretz Yisrael? Amazing theological insights. At the end of the first chapter, 73, it says, Vani kirvat Elohim litov. The closeness, the relationship to God is good without a Mikdash. There is a theology. How can we continue without the Mikdash? And that's the third book, which has its own book, its own philosophy, its his own world. And we have the fourth book. And you see what I ask her to do? There is a rebuild of the stones. And the stones are now in blue. They are not filled. They have no filling. It's vision. They come back. Tzadika Tamar Yifrach. I wanted her to put her Tamar. It's showing up the Tamar. And Tamar survives in the desert, and it shows the way back. And her name is Tamar Gutman. And you see here the world. They come back from all over the world. All the nations except Hashem Malach Geut Lavish. These are the Mizmorim we say Friday night. Of course, we don't recognize Friday night, that here is a narrative. Because Friday night starts with 95 and is done with 99. So how should we see the big pictures? We see the trees, we don't see the forest. There is much more into it than only the beautiful, wonderful 150 pearls. It's a story. And afterwards, they come back to Eretz Yisrael, and David HaMelech appears. The same David. 1, 2, 3, 4, 8. Together, 18. 18, if you want, David Melech Yisrael Chai is the numerical value of 18. And he brings the entire world, stepwise, to sing for Hashem. Very interesting. The German scholars, Zenger and Hossfeld, they developed that. I was in touch with one of them, with their students, Zecher Tzadikim Livracha, real believers and supporters of Eretz Yisrael theologically and in their interpretation. Beautiful research. And interesting enough, German Catholic researchers brought these insights to me. I sit in Yerushalayim, Ir David Bachana, and I have the honor to present it to Jews in Canada and all over the world. For that, I can only say L'chaim. Big L'chaim time. That Am Yisrael after 2,000 years is coming back. I want to give you now a few examples, and it needs a lot of understanding. It needs a lot of learning. I focus on that for 9 years, and I find more and more new insights. Let me give you a few beautiful examples. Sefer Tehillim starts with chapter 1 and 2. Interesting enough that in Sefer Tehillim, we cannot open the text and read. The first word is Ashrei in chapter 1, and the last line in the second chapter is Ashrei kol chosebo. The beginning and the end is the same. Chazal found it. They said it. Kol parasha shaita chaviva al David, patach be'ashrei v'chatam be'ashrei. Every chapter which David liked very much, he opened with Ashrei and he ended it with Ashrei. There is only one. And Tosafot explains it's not only Ashrei, it's also Hallelujah. Tosafot explains not only Ashrei. But the German scholar says, the contextual interpretation, it's not because he likes it. He puts Ashrei at the beginning and at the end. He puts it at the beginning of the book. Because what do we have here? Chapter 1, he learns. The tzaddik learns Torah. And chapter 2 is, other nations come and try to attack Am Yisrael, but the king in Yerushalayim survives. That is the feature of a Jewish king. He has a Torah, because he is committed to write himself a Torah, Dvarim Yudzayim, and he functions to protect the Jewish people in Tzion in front of them. Zot parasha chaviva, at the beginning of the book, that's the motto of Sefer Tehillim. And interesting enough, the Gemara says it. Haita chaviva, I will not explain it. Harav Kuk, zichrono livracha, explains that's the real Ashrei. Ashrei is happy the person who. If somebody combines his personal learning with the relevance of the Jewish people coming back to Tzion and having a political system, that's the real osher. That's the real happiness. But please pay attention. The tzaddik thinks in the Torah. He reflects day and night in learning Torah. The nations who attack us, Yehegurik, they try to kill us. At the beginning of the first chapter, it says, Hashem protects the tzaddik, but the ways of the Rishaim will be gone. That is exactly what we have at the end here. So here you see the structure, how much it is connected. The first two chapters are a unit, are a unity. So here I had a great honor to meet some 4 years ago an outstanding artist, Dan Rubinstein, originally from Israel in Zurich. And that's another painting which we did together. It's the 9th version, which he finalized it. You have it online. You can print it out if you wish. And it's in, the original is in our home. What is he showing here? He shows here that tzaddik is learning. And he is ke'etz shatul al palgei maim, at the rivers. At the river of the Torah, they flow. But here we see the second chapter. They come to Yerushalayim and try to destroy it. The Mizmor says, you will not destroy it. The Mizmor ends, Ivdu et Adonai beyira. The Mashiach of Yerushalayim tells them, worship Hashem with respect. Chapter 1 and 2 is the same. It's one unit with two aspects, two components. This beautiful picture reflects it. Dan Rubinstein, we did it together. After the 8th version, I apologized and I told him I feel not comfortable to explain him, to improve it. He told me, lo, ani rotze achitov, I want the best. And he learned the two chapters by heart and he put everything together. You see here, that is the entire chapter 1 and 2 is a Megillah. It's a book. Because the contextual interpretation shows Sefer Tehillim as a book. And you start reading the book here. That is the beginning, Eitz Chaim. And here you continue to read on the website. You can download the picture and you have my explanations there in Hebrew, English, and German. So I want to show you now a few wonderful examples. What is not only the contextual approach, we have also an intertextual approach. What is the meaning of context? One text next to it is another text. They are connected, one aleph bet. But you have much more. Sometimes a mizmor or any pasuk quotes a totally different context, a totally different text from the Bible in a different book. It says at the beginning of Sefer Tehilim that the tzaddik is involved in learning Torah. Uvetorato yehege yomam v'layla. V'chol asher yaseh yatzliach. It says that is the very beginning of Ketuvim. You're now experts in Tanakh. In 24 days, you have it all together. What did we learn at the beginning of Sefer Yoshua? Moshe, it says, Moshe avdi mit. He died, and Yeshua has to continue his tradition, his legacy. What does he say, Hashem, to Yeshua? Lo yamush sefer haTorah ze mipicha, vehagita bo yomam v'layla. You should think and reflect in the Torah day and night. Yeshua, as successor of Moshe. Moshe kibel Torah misinai u'mesara leYeshua. That is the tradition from Har Sinai coming down to Moshe, to Yeshua, and to all Am Yisrael. Sefer Ketuvim, at the very beginning, Sefer Tehilim, in the first chapter, talks, communicates with the very beginning of Nevi'im. In Nevi'im, it says, Sinai, Moshe, Moshe died, Yeshua continued. At the beginning of Tehilim, it says, no, the tzaddik, he, from his own initiative, it's his own choice. He is a tzaddik who learns Torah because he wants it. Not because he was he has the mitzvah to do it. That's the feature of Sefer Tehilim. It's the human desire to do what he is told to do. So it's the same pasuk. But these are two different sides of the same coin. What are you told to do? Sefer Tehilim, I enjoy to do that. Chiftso. That's a beautiful intertextuality. I want to show you now other examples. I knew I will not talk about the entire text, but I want to show you another very, very special example. Here, I want to talk to you about King David. King David, David HaMelech, yes, historical King David is in Sefer Shmuel, Shmuel Aleph, Shmuel Bet, you learned the books. That is where King David lives. But King David has a very, very active afterlife. He starts a huge career. Look in Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yechizkel, I will not read all the psukim, but you can see just looking where it's in red. Yeshayahu talks about it many times. Yirmiyahu says, Lo yikaret le David, tzmiach le David tzemach, tzemach tzedaka. Yechezkel says, Ve'avdi David betocham. David will come back and he will lead Am Yisrael. And that's what he says in Hoshea, in Amos, Akim et sukat David hanofelet. What do we have? So David keeps living. He keeps singing. Here in Sefer Ezra, in Sefer Beit Sheni, at the time of the Second Temple in Zechariah, Ezra Nehemiah, we have a lot of psukim where it says the Jewish people came back to Eretz Israel, and they were thinking about David. Ubeit David kemalach Adonai lifnei, veshafachti al Beit David v'al Yoshev Yerushalayim ruchchen v'tachanunim. The house of King David continues. So regardless that he died, he is Chai v'Kayam. And they built the Beit HaMikdash. What did they do? They were starting Lehalel et Hashem al Yedei David. They were starting to say Halel. Tehilim. What's the phrase they used? The wording, Vayanu behalel uvehodot ladonai kitov kilolam chasdo. Hodul Hashem kitov kilolam chasdo. That is Tehillim. So what do we have here? We have the memory of King David in the first temple period, but he keeps living in the second pit, in the second temple period. When they started to come back to Eretz Yisrael, who was their teacher? Ezra and Nehemiah. What did Ezra and Nehemiah do? They connected Am Yisrael to King David. We have a tradition. They come back to Eretz Yisrael. It's not a new area in Am Yisrael. It's back to the old. Renewal. Renewing the old. And they said, Hallel Lehodot, B'mitzvat David. According to the mitzvah David gave. He died a few hundred years ago. The mitzvah keeps on. And they were singing, and they were on the steps of Ir David. B'ma'alot Ir David. You can guess what they were singing there on the Ma'alot Ir David. One doesn't have to be a genius to understand they were singing Shir HaMa'alot, Bichlei Shir B'Ma'alot David. King David lives. What do we have here? When they come back, and that is the beauty. These four two chapters talk about Kibbutz Galuyot. We say it today, Yom HaTzmaut. It was not created Yom HaTzmaut. It's back to Beit Sheni. We come back. We come these days, we come back. Like Beit Rishon, Beit Sheni. And afterwards, they remember we came back from Egypt. Hallel HaMitzri. We learn when we come back. We have to go back to the sources. And we sing Shir HaMa'alot, what we discussed before. That's exactly this the double voice. What happened with David? But actually, David lives in a later period. I want to show you now something fascinating. And I have many, many examples. Here are the big scholars. That's the text which Ibn Ezra says. And it's not that we have more insights than Ibn Ezra. Because Ibn Ezra, I think it with a lot of respect for this outstanding Gdol Yisrael, Gdol HaParshanim. He defines the questions, and reviewing his introduction, where he denies any structure, is the most important basis I have to answer his questions. V'hinei emet, ha'emet shekol mizmor u'mizmor omed bifnei atzmo. Here are the two scholars from Germany, Professor Erich Zenger and Frank Lothar Hosfeld. Some of their research is translated to English. They called it the canonical. They are very, very, very much connected to the German research of Wellhausen and Helm Gunkel, the classical psalm research. So they are not at the level to get enthusiastic like me when I teach it's our story. Because for the Christian tradition, of course, the idea of the world, the future of the world, the messianic idea of the world is connected to their Jesus, to their tradition. So they learned it, but with a lot of respect, understand the book. If we learn it, and I want to come back to Chazal and show you, that is what the Midrash says. The Midrash says, if you would understand, I cannot analyze this Midrash, it's a fascinating one, it will take time. The Midrash says, everything that is written in Tehillim, it's the Midrash on Mizmor Gimel. Midrash Tehillim Mizmor Gimel says, everything that we have in Tehillim, lo yada enosh erka. Nobody knows the value of the book. And afterwards it says, who is the person, Hashem says, umi chamoni yikra v'yagideha v'yaarcheha li. It's the same source. Erka is the value. V'yaarcheha is the editing, the structure, the flow. Chachamim understood, that is my statement, my understanding, that there is a value in the structure of the book. And Chachamim say, it's worthwhile to read this approach. If you understand the structure of Sefer Tehillim, ata yachol lachyot meitim velasot moftim. You can revive dead people and you can make miracles if you understand the structure of the book. Ladies and gentlemen, go for it. It will help. We can make Triat HaMeitim. I'm not making jokes. because we understand that the dead history of King David, some 2,000, 3,000 years ago, if we understand the structure of the book, we can revive King David. The fourth and fifth book, David's kingdom, doesn't come to an end. Le David ule zar'o ad olam, it continues. That is l'achayot metim. So here we have the Midrash says it very, very clearly. We have to understand the parshiot of the Torah ala seder. A beautiful Midrash. I want to show you now an unbelievable example. And I know it's a lot of material. It's a whole system. I want to show you here two mizmorim, where when I was reading it and learning Tehillim in years before I found this Shita, I got frustrated. Not frustrated, it's a beautiful chapter 104 and a wonderful chapter 105. But how are they connected? Chapter 104 gives a beautiful, beautiful description of the world, of the creation, of the animals, of sunset and sunrise, of the moon. And the world is beautiful. At the end it says, I will sing for Hashem all my life and I will praise him and I'm happy with Hashem. Yitamu hatayim min ha'aretz urshayim odinam. Hallelujah. At the end of the beautiful description of the world, the Meshorer of Tehillim, the author of Tehillim says, hopefully the world will stay as beautiful as the Creator wanted it, and no Rasha and no Chataim should destroy it. Nice. Hallelujah. And afterwards we start a chapter. Oh, remember, tell to the world all the beautiful stories that happened to Am Yisrael. Jewish history. One is humanities, chapter 105, and 104 is a description of the creation. Biology, zoology, geography, whatever you want, science. What's the connection? Nothing. Because Ibn Ezra said, they're not connected. They are not connected. Let me show you now with the miracles of PowerPoint, how strongly they are connected. Because look at the words, which I'm showing you now. We have the word Ashira at the end of 104 and at the beginning of 105. We have afterwards the word Azamra at the end of 104 and at the beginning of 105. And afterwards we have Sichi and we have Sichu b'chol niflotav. And we have Esmach and we have Yismach. Not connected, but one has to search for that. What's the meaning? The meaning is outstanding. There is a message from comparing two mizmorim and comparing two and two and two and looking at 105. That's quite a research. If I look at the world, the beauty of the world, I know that we have to keep the world in a good shape. That's what Hashem wants from us. Yitamu hatayim min ha'aretz urshayim odinam. I have to make sure the world will not get destroyed. What is the message? Am Yisrael has to fix the world in order to keep the beauty of the world the way the Creator wanted it, 104. We have to do something. King David says in his own, or the author says in the first person, Ashira, Azamra, Sichi, Esmach. But what is the next step? He goes out and says, hey, Am Yisrael, make the world a better one. Tell all the nations. That is a deep connection. That is contextuality just of two mizmorim. I have much more to tell you, which I cannot show it. Yeshayahu, the second part of Yeshayahu, which is also an imitation of Beit Rishon, of the first temple period, at the time of the second temple period. He says, when Israel comes back, he says to Am Yisrael, I create a new heaven and a new earth. And you will come back to Am Yisrael and you will have the pleasure of Binyan Yerushalayim because you come back. That's exactly what Yeshayahu says, what we read between the two chapters. What I see in the new world, 104, takes me right away with the same expressions to chapter 105. So obviously it's connected. I would like to come now, I have much more to say here, about that, but to talk about the context of Sefer Tehillim and Yeshayahu is quite an interesting topic. Therefore, I want to focus on that. In chapter 107, it says, when Am Yisrael comes back at the beginning of the fifth book, Yodu L'Adonai Chasdo V'Niflotav Livnei Adam. We should praise and thank Hashem for all his chesed, his charity, and the miracles he does. Ki shibar daltot nechoshet uvrichei barzel gidea. Rabbi Jay, could you please translate? Ki shibar nechoshet uvrichei barzel gidea.
You want me to translate? He broke the copper doors and the, what's the briach? The thing that goes back, like the, I forget how you say it in English, you know, that pole sort of, destroyed the steel barrier, whatever.
We thank Hashem that he led us out from slavery, from captivity. Mizmor 107. That's exactly the same pasuk that we have in Yeshayahu 45. Ko amar Adonai lemishicho lekoresh. That's what Hashem says to Koresh. Mishicho. Koresh is a Mashiach. Why? Because he let the Jewish people come back to Eretz Yisrael. What did he do? He opened, Koresh, the doors from the exile that we could come back to Eretz Yisrael. Ani lefanecha elech v'hadurim ayasher, daltot nechusha ashaber, uvrichei barzel agadea. It's a quote. If Yeshayahu says that Koresh will bring back the Jewish people from the exile at the beginning of the Second Temple period, that is what Sefer Tehillim says, Hashem, thank you. These are the same psukim. They correspond. Yeshayahu is the vision by Hashem, and Tehillim is the thank of human being. Can anybody argue that it's a quote? Of course it is. That is intertextuality. Tehillim goes back at the beginning to the life of David, and Yeshayahu goes back at the beginning to the life in the First Temple period. Tehillim continues in the second part, in the time of the restoration, Shivat Zion, and the same as Yeshayahu, because it's the flow from the First Temple who keeps us alive in the Second Temple period. I would like to finish. I will skip this one. Now, I want to share with you on a more psychological level. I love this research. I apologize that I was enthusiastic. It's not scholarly research. If you get excited, Rabbi Kelman and friends, please forgive me all my sins. That's not my biggest one. But I get very enthusiastic, and I'm addicted to this research. And I see something that I talk to rabbis and outstanding teachers and Talmidei Chachamim. It's obvious. Yes, we have to learn. We have to understand the entire Sefer Tehillim and read it over and over and over and over. But that's what Sefer Tehillim asks from us to do, to learn the Torah Yomam V'Laila. So if you read it all the time, it's addicted. But there is much more to it. I like details. I like to connections. I have the search system. And I learn so much from the German scholars. I speak the language, as you hear from my accent. But there is something much deeper into it. To understand the entire book of the Torah in a new light, wow, Ashrei Ha'ish. But there is even something much, much more deeper than that. When I was teaching this book, this idea, a student came up and told me, Ze Sipur Shelanu. You're not teaching the text. You're talking about our nation. What happened? King David in the first two books, a beautiful career in his lifetime. With Shlomo, there was a destruction and there was a restoration, and there is a return to Eretz Yisrael. That's what happened to Am Yisrael. I had the honor to teach that, the 150 Shiurim, with Rav Benny Lau in his wonderful program, Teisha Shtaim Teisha, where he now the second time motivated Am Yisrael to learn on a regular basis Torah. His father, Zichrono Livracha, and my father, Zichrono Livracha, are in the edition of the book, which we have here. Tehillim is Lev Avot. We called it, Rav Beni Lau and I called it Lev Avot because it is Lev for Levi, his father, and Avraham, Yona Gesundheit, my father, both survivors of the Holocaust. They had a very, very long period in their time when they grew up in Poland, when they knew what Torah was. Here you see Rav Gesundheit, the chief rabbi of Warsaw, the last chief rabbi, and Harav Meir Shapira, who was a cousin, the father of Rav Lau, that's his brother. They had a strong background in the past on Torah, and they saw what the third chapter describes. They went through the Holocaust, both of them. They were together in Auschwitz. They were together the same march of death, and they survived with miracles. Naftali Lau saved his brother, the chief rabbi. My father saved somebody during his march of death, and they came back, and they survived, and they saw the restoration, and they came back to Yerushalayim. Yevarechecha Adonai mitzion urev etuv Yerushalayim. And we, Am Yisrael, came back. Not only his father and my father, zichronam livracha. That's the miracle of our days. It's not only the text, and there's a lot I can tell you about the text. It's our story. Am Yisrael comes back, and we continue that. So I summarize. The book of Tehillim is a book with a story and with a narrative. The book of Tehillim has a message, a clear structure from the beginning of the end. And there is an outstanding chidush parshani, interpretation, innovation of this approach to understand Sefer Tehillim. I found a little bit in Chazal, not at the full pictures. Yes, I learned a lot, but there are a lot of pieces. Might be it's the lack of my understanding that Chazal actually understood it. But they said you can lechayot meitim velasot moftim. They had a sensitivity for that. And I can show that on many, many examples. It is a holistic approach to the entire book. And most importantly, the Ramban, Nachmanides, in his famous letter, Igeret HaRamban, he says, when you learn, you should always keep in mind, when you learn and you leave the books and you go to your whatever you do, think what you learned, if there is anything that you can do. Today, thinking about King David, destruction and rebuild, and we come back, do we have any bigger statement of Zionism, of the miracle of what we were praying for thousands of years, and we are back? Ashreinu, that we come back and we are here. Here you see the references, which are, they will be online, as you see a lot in German. On my website, you have a fuller list. And I wish to thank a lot of people who are tremendous help to make that happen. I thank Susan Suna, and the graphic artist, and my editor, Arya Bartov, and many, many others, Harav Yair Khan, Professor Jonathan Grossman, Dr. Yael Ziegler, and other scholars, of Jewish and non-Jewish scholars. And I wish to thank you for your attention. If you have any easy question, I'm happy to try to answer.
Benny, thank you very much. If you want to take a look at the chat box, you do want me to read the questions for you on the chat box. But take a look at the chat. You'll see a number of questions. If you want.
37.
Okay, here, maybe I'll...
You want to give
me... I'll go through the questions. Okay, so pointing out, obviously, King David didn't write all of Tehillim. That's quite clear, as you sort of becomes obvious, and that's accepted. Okay. Are there any Mizmorim you think should be in other books? Maybe that's too hard to answer now, but like, you know, here's... David wants to know, made more sense for Mizmor 3 to have been in the second book alongside the historical Mizmorim.
So I want to relate to that interesting question. There are many books, many Mizmorim, which I was asking for many, many years, why are they here? And one of the biggest problems was 137, Al Narot Bavel. How does that come in there? It was like a thorn in my eyes. We talk about Hallel HaMitzri, Hallel HaGadol, everything is wonderful. And it's like you have a flat tire. you talk about beautiful Shivat Zion, Al Narot Bavel, which reminds me of the Churban. And I found outstanding connections, which I cannot present now, comparing it to the end of Sefer Yirmiyahu, where end of Sefer Yirmiyahu quotes has the same line as 135 and 137. The same Mizmor in Yirmiyahu talks of the same text. So we have, like the dentist says, sometimes you have two teeth and you have to build a bridge. Yirmiyahu explains what Sefer Tehilim did. Because in Yirmiyahu it says, the entire world will recognize Hashem, but Bavel will be punished. 137 says the entire world is invited to come to Eretz Yisrael, and the doors are open for Am Yisrael to come back to Eretz Yisrael. But 137 says, Bavel, those who destroyed the Jewish people, there will be a punishment. Who gives the punishment? Only Hashem. But once they are punished, they will be part of the Geula, of the revelation, of the, how do you say, the redemption of the entire world. So I want to encourage you, if you have a question, how does one Mizmor, why is it here or there? Don't hesitate to ask the question. Sometimes you don't have the answer. Please do not come to the conclusion that there is no order. I understand even Ezra, he didn't have enough indication to look at the entire picture. But I'm convinced it is a flow. Sometimes I don't know why it is there and how it works. So I had this question, let me tell you, for 3 years. And I'm now 9 years in research. For 3 years, I said, it will not work. 137, it will not work. I have almost 148 chapters, but these two don't work. And when I saw the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, I had big lechaim time. Not only I could connect 135 to 137, it is the flow of the entire book. So logic. So I cannot prove it, but I want to encourage you, ask the questions, and if you ask the questions, you will find an answer.
Okay, on a related question, so the book one contains many mizmorim of pain and despair. How does that go into with the theme of studying Torah?
Sorry, I couldn't hear.
Yeah, just saying, on a similar question, book one has a number of mizmorim of pain and despair. How does that fit with the general thesis of the importance of studying Torah?
What is pain of despair?
Some of the Mizmorim in book one.
Yes. So, of course, that has to be looked at it is not only Torah. The first book was a big challenge. When I studied, I got very quickly clarity in the fifth and fourth book. And the first one was a long, long difficulty to understand. There is a famous professor in Roma, Gianni Barbero. I'm very friendly with him. And he did research. He's retired. He worked for 40 years on Sefer Rishon. It is not his learning in the sense of academic activity. It's his learning of his Mishnah, of his attitude, of his philosophy. What he showed in the first book, there are four units, which I could not present here, which show a beautiful, beautiful syllabus, how to deal with wicked people. That's not learning in the sense of Torah, Bereshit, Noach, Lech Lecha. It is learning how to deal with the evil, with Resha. And there is a first unit, 3 to 14. There is a second unit that not only want to survive, you also want to improve your qualities, 15 to 24. And afterwards, 25 to 30 to 34, that Mechaber, the Meshorer, the author of Tehilim, he goes his own way and he gets closer to Hashem. And afterwards, he teaches other. And from 35 to 41, he overcomes the bad the bad people in the world, and he tries to educate them and to bring the message to the world. It's not learning in the sense of yeshiva and daf yomi and parashat haShavua. It's learning on another level, learning for life.
Okay, last question, but I think just pointing out, how could the Ibn Ezra have missed this in a sense? In other words, as they say, he was a genius. In other words, he didn't see the word. That's sort of just an interesting sort of idea. I mean, that's always true. Whenever someone comes up with a great chiddush, why didn't Rashi think of it? Why didn't the Rambam think of it? But you have any comments on that?
So first of all, this genius mind of Ibn Ezra, there are many big who said, I don't know more than what he did, but they gave a very nice analogy. Nanas al gabe anak. I'm like a dwarf.
Right. Yeah.
On the
shoulders of giants.
You're not I'm not that big. I'm Mr. Nobody. GMG, Gornish mit Gornish. But if we have today the view to look at the book because there are new ways of literature, we look at the entity. We have a holistic approach. We have a psychosomatic approach. In medicine, people were not talking about psychosomatics. Rambam was, but most people were not, because every unit was a mizmor, mizuk tilim, a kapitel tilim. So you had no desire to look at that. It didn't bother Ibn Ezra. It was not of concern. The Sefer Tehillim is very, very, very beautiful. 150 pearls. You can enjoy each of them. There was no desire to build the chain. Why? Because I think that we are familiar with Sefer Tehillim. Oh, I know Ashrei by heart from the age of 6. I know Psukei de Zimra, Kabbalat Shabbat, Shir Shel Yom, Kirat Shma LaMita. I know pieces. I'm lost with stones of ache, but I never saw the picture. The German scholars, they came up with a new view. And Rashi says in his introduction to Parshat Vayeshev that there will be always new ways. When he was talking to his grandson, the grandson of Rashi was Rashbam. And he spoke to his grandson, Rashbam, an outstanding Parshan, very, very rational. And he said he admitted, Rashi, Zayda Rashi admitted to his grandson when he was 22, would I have time? I would like to engage more in the study al pshatot hamitchachim b'chol yom. So I'm still Mr. Nobody, and I'm that small. But learning from others and having Sefer Tehillim, which such a beautiful insight, and major contribution, and that's the beauty of the Torah. Zedor Dorshav, Mizmor 24. In every generation, we can learn new things. The Chidush that I try to show you will hopefully inspire you. You're welcome to send me emails and learn about it. Visit the Hebrew website. You have here you have here somewhere my email address, and I will be more than happy to think together about questions which come up. And we are in a learning process, so I don't think we should be discouraged by somebody else could not find it. Rashi said, whatever I found, you will find much more. That's the beauty of Limud Torah.
Okay, the only thing, Benny, I disagree with you is that you're not the small from small. You're not Gornish from Gornish. You're really one of the most creative teachers of Torah. This you got a taste very quickly, but we had the pleasure of having Benny in Toronto for 3 years. And while he was doing his PhD and a fellowship in medicine, and on the side, his beautiful going off to Kinko, right? That's where he used to get his PowerPoints and the color-coded, his shiurim, everything is color-coded. As is on Haggadah Tefillah, on so many areas where Benny finds the intertextuality and the books he wrote for his kids. It's very, very original and creative. So I do encourage everybody to take a look at the website. And please, God, we'll have more of you on Torah in Motion. Tomorrow, Dr. Shimon Lerner on Sefer Mishlei. We move quickly here, Tanakh. You're going to read 929 chapters. We don't do it every day. We give you breaks, but not between Monday.